I made friends quickly at Marham. Tommy and Ina, who lived almost next door, were both Irish. He was a fireman in the RAF regiment, and they had three children. I can't remember their names, but I think the eldest girl was Alison. Sharon and Patrick played with them all the time. They were a very friendly family, and I loved their Irish accent. My other friend, Angie, who was Italian and married to Paul, another fireman in the RAF regiment. She had a boy and girl about the same age as my two. Angie gave me a Christmas cake recipe. I still have the same paper it was written on. It's my favourite, and I've used it for birthday and wedding cakes. And we both worked together until I left Marham. Angie had been at Marham a little longer than me, and she worked in a gang of land girls going around potato picking, etc. They were all RAF wives, and I eventually joined them. We would be picked up in a large white van after dropping our children at school. A tractor pulling a machine would bring the potatoes to the surface, and it was back-breaking work for us, putting them in the sacks. It was piecework, so you had to be pretty fast, and it was harder still when we pulled carrots from frozen ground. Sometimes we would also go picking strawberries, and the children would come and work too. They would carry the little baskets to be weighed and receive their money. I think most of the strawberries ended up in their tummies. Our gang even went to work inside a pickled onion factory during the summer holidays. It was convenient because there was a nursery for the children in the same building. The civilian women didn't like us much, but I was used to that by now. When we weren't on the land, our gang leader would always find work for us all, and I especially loved working in the large plant nursery. There were polytunnels everywhere, and I would have to kneel on a turned-over milk crate to weed inside them. It was very painful, but also quite relaxing, and I loved the smell inside the tunnels. They had hose pipes outside each one, as there was always plenty of watering to do. I learnt a lot about plants from the old gardeners who worked there. It was so fascinating to watch them grafting small apple trees. I was given a cotoneasta cutting, one of the not-so-good plants, they reckon, but I still have it now, and it's thriving by my pond. It is covered with a mass of flowers every year, and the bees love it. Angie left the gang because she had a new job cleaning the Grafton Club on camp. It even had its own cinema. It was much better for her. She was warm and dry working inside. Eventually, she managed to get me work there, and it was very handy because I could take the children into the club to wait for their school to open, and I was even allowed to take them to school later. I had to have a pass to enter through the main gate. They were guarded by two armed guards, and I'd have to throw my bag on the floor for them to search inside it. Patrick and Sharon thought this was great, but I found it a bit scary. At work, we would take it in turn to go to the stores to fetch clean towels, etc., and it was quite a walk across the camp. I had done it quite often, but one day I walked over to stores and thought there was something odd because the doors were locked. All of a sudden, these airmen in combat kits with leaves, etc., on their helmets charged out of the bushes towards me shouting, "Halt! Who goes there?" It even got worse because lorries came towards me full of troops, and I really thought they would arrest me. They thought it was very amusing, and I could see a few with smiles on their faces. When I had shown them my pass, they let me go back to work. The girls laughed so much when I arrived back. They knew there was an exercise on and that the stores would be locked up. Apparently they had all been through this, so I could see the funny side in the end, but I was really, really scared at the time. One day Ray brought home a little black kitten. She had been born on the camp, and his friends also took one home. The children were thrilled, and she was given the name Sheba. Sally, our little dog, loved her, and they became good friends, and Sally was able to lick her kittens when they were born. We were lucky enough to find homes for them all later. We came back for a few days to Kynos at the beginning of September 1979, as my brother Brian was marrying Heather Hughes on the 8th of September. It was great to see everyone, and the children loved seeing their grandparents, aunts, uncles and cousins. Brian and Heather were married at St. Peter's Church, Machynlleth, and the reception was at the Riverside Hotel, Pennell. Their first home was at 2 Brindle Las Cynos. Then later on, they moved up the road to number 5 Isle of Bryn and are still there today. One of my favourite photos was taken at the back of the hotel. It is the only one with all 8 of us. Sian, Dad, Alison, me, Jennifer, Anne, Mam and Brian. During our stay at Cynos, we went to Llanfachredd to see Di, Jen and the children. It was so nice to see them all. Sharon and Patrick enjoyed playing with their cousins because they didn't see each other very often. They had all grown so much since I last saw them, and Jen was expecting another baby, Laura, at the time. My other sister Sian and I took Sharon and Patrick to Aberystwyth for the day. The last time we had been there together was when Ray and I were engaged at the castle, August 1968, and Sian was with us then. Ray and I also went to see his parents, Wallace and Grace. They lived at 33 Tregarth, Machynlleth. They looked after Sharon and Patrick during Brian's wedding and took them to the class ground. Ray's dad took quite a few photos of them, and he also developed them in his darkroom. It was great to see them all, but very sad to leave.